Good morning, everybody. I'm going to hijack the service temporarily before we hand over to David for your regularly programmed worship, as it were, because I'm very pleased to share that I have an announcement for us all this morning. As you'll all be aware, we've not had an administrator for effectively 2 years, since May of 2024, when Gail had her accident and spent several months in hospital before retiring in early 2025. This Easter, we advertised for a new administrator, and that process has been successful. We have appointed a new administrator, and now all of the necessary background processes have been completed. And so I'm pleased to be able to share that our new administrator will be a lady called Jenna Rapson. We believe that she will be a real blessing to the benefice, and she is due to start in a couple of weeks' time in early mid-August. I asked her if she could share a little bit about herself so that I could give you a bit of an introduction this morning, and she wrote this. I'm married to Johnny with two young children, Naomi and Jude, who are almost 3 and 1 year old. As a family, we enjoy spending time outdoors, exploring, walking our dogs, and making the most of family life together. I have spent many years working in childcare, and I'm now excited to be moving my love for helping people to my new role as your benefits administrator. I am also actively involved in my own church, where I enjoy volunteering in a variety of ways. I'm looking forward to getting to know everyone and supporting the life of a benefice. So I hope that you will be just as keen as I am to welcome her to the benefice office, and I hope that you'll also join me in praying for her and for our new chapter in the life of our churches together as we try and get past some of the bottlenecks, i.e. my administrative abilities, over the last year or so. I know that it hasn't always been easy, but I would like to take a thank you to each of you for the many different ways in which you have helped keep things going. I would also like to thank our church wardens, David, Nico, and Paul, for all of their help and support, as well as the members of the ministry team. In particular, I'd also like to thank Roger, Clive, and Hillary for all of their hard work on the recruitment process. We couldn't have done it without them. If it's all right, we'll just take a moment to pray for Jenna as she prepares to come and be in the midst of all of us in the office, but also for the work that we're doing as a church. But hopefully now we shall be able to be a bit more freed up to do some of those things that we've been longing to do. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God who provides. And you have heard our need for an administrator and are fulfilling that prayer through Jenna as she prepares to come and join us in the office. We pray that this will be a new chapter in the life of our churches, that you will enable us to be more organized and more efficient and able to do more things, not just together as a worshiping community, but also in the midst of the community we are a part of here in Penn and Tyler's Green. We ask that in all we do, we might glorify your holy name for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you all very much, and a big thank you to David for letting me hijack the beginning of the service, but I just wanted to come along and keep you all in the loop myself. Thank you, and God bless.
Well done. Welcome to this service. Just a few notices. Reminder of Tuesday morning coffee in the sanctuary. Wednesday and Thursday, art groups. Sanctuary coffee meets at 2 p.m. Bi-weekly. No, every week. That's right, yeah. That's it. But bi-weekly we have the youth group, second and fourth Sunday of each month, between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. Light lunches at Tyler's Green Village Hall last Monday of the month at midday. That's a really good one, that one. Fine. Take up our sheets. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice
Now we have our first hymn, number 75, Come Ye Thankful People Come. Interesting choice. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, and to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and in faith. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us, according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us, and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, merciful Lord, to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Blessed is the Lord, for he has heard the voice of our prayer. Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy, and in our song we will praise our God. Blessed are you, Lord our God, creator and redeemer of all. To you be glory and praise forever. From the waters of chaos you drew forth the world, and in your great love fashioned us in your image. Now through the deep waters of death you have brought your people to new birth by raising your Son to life in triumph. May Christ, your light, ever dawn in our hearts as we offer you our sacrifice of thanks and praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God forever.
The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. And now we come to our second hymn, number 108. Fill thou my life, O Lord my God. Please be seated. We have the first reading from the Old Testament.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, beginning to read at verse 1. When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come on you, and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations. And when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you, and will gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The Lord your God will put these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. You will again obey the Lord and follow all his commands I am giving you today. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your ancestors, if you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in the book of the law, and turn to the Lord, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed are you, God of Israel, forever and ever. Yours is the greatness, the power and the glory, the splendor and the majesty. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours.
Yours
is the kingdom, O God, and you are exalted ahead of all. Riches and honor come from you,
and you rule over all.
In your hand are power and might.
Yours
is the power and strength to all. And now we give you thanks, our God, and praise your glorious name. For all things come from you,
and out of your own have we given you.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Now we come to our second reading from the New Testament.
The New Testament reading is taken from Peter's first general letter to the church, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 8. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it's God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. You have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. When Christ our life appears, you will appear with him in glory. Now we stand and say together all of the Benedictus. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. He has raised us up for a mighty Saviour, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all that hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteousness in his sight, all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will come before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of all their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Please be seated. A reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 21. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich pursuing their gifts into the temple's treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people get their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put all she had to live on. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." Another person has just arrived at the portals of heaven. A voice asks, "What is the password?" "Speak it and you may enter." "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." "No," replies the voice. "The just shall live by faith alone." "No." "There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." "Those sayings are true," the voice answered, "but they're not the password for which I listen." "Well then, I give up," replied the person. "That's it. Come right in." The kingdom of God is a free gift given to those who know they cannot make it on their own and must rely on God's grace. Christians reading the gospel I read today may ask, "What has this to do with me?" Jesus talks about the temple in Jerusalem. That was an impressive building. We've got along quite well without a temple for at least 2,000 years. Tegetsagort talks about persecution. The Romans threw Christians to the lions. But that's old news too. Again, what does this text have to do with us? This text, in fact, has a great deal to do. Jesus told his disciples that they would see terrible times. He told them they would be arrested and persecuted and imprisoned and handed over to the authorities. But Jesus went on to tell his disciples that those terrible times would provide them with opportunities to witness to their faith. He went on to tell them that God was with them. He said, "By your endurance, you will win your lives. You will win your souls." Most of us have never been persecuted by our faith. Hopefully, most of us never will. But Christian discipleship challenges the ways of the world. Christian discipleship causes trouble. If we practice true discipleship, we'll make some people uncomfortable. If we practice true discipleship, we may have to tell friends that we cannot participate in their fun. If we practice true discipleship, we might have to tell supervisors that we cannot in good conscience carry out their orders. If we practice true discipleship, we may find ourselves at odds with the people we care most about. When those things happen, we will have paid a price for our faith. But we will have nevertheless had a significant witness for Christ. But Jesus wasn't talking about losing friends or a job. He was talking about people arresting Christians. He was talking about persecution. He was talking about imprisonment. We haven't experienced those things, and have trouble in imagining that we might. The gospel reading that I read comes near the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. The setting is the temple in Jerusalem. According to Luke, Jesus was standing in one of the courtyards watching the people come and go. A poor widow walked by and put in her last 2 pennies in the offerings. He said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow put in more than all of them. All these put their gifts for God from their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on." About that time, he overheard some people marveling at the beauty of the temple. And he turned to them and said, "As for those things which you see, the days will come in which there will not be one stone on one another that will not be thrown down." You can imagine their shock. The temple was huge. To get an idea of the size and scope of the temple, just go to Jerusalem today and stand at the Western Wall. It's massive. Some of the stones weigh up to 100 tons each. What we don't realize is that while we're able to count 24 rows of stones, there are another 19 beneath the ground. And where we see about 100 feet of wall from side to side, the whole wall runs about 1,500 feet. That's not half of it. That's just one of the 4 retaining walls that encircled the base on which the temple was built. The temple itself towered another 16 stories on top of the one above. It was huge. But the only huge, not only huge, but ornate. The Jewish historian Josephus said that the outer structure of the temple was covered with gold plates. There was so much white marble in it, according to Josephus, that the temple appeared to strangers when they were at a distance like a mountain covered with snow. And it was just as opulent on the inside as the outside. Yet Jesus said, "As for these things which you see, the days will come in which there will be not one left stone on another that will not be thrown down." Of course, he was right. The Romans destroyed the temple in 70 AD and leveled the city of Jerusalem. When they marched away, all that was left was a pile of rubble. The effect was both devastating and demoralizing. The Jewish people were forced to scatter to the 4 winds. They would not be without a homestead for the next 1900 years. Yet they survived. If anything, they grew stronger and more resilient. And that's what I like to think about in this sermon this morning. How so often, out of the rubble of tragedy, new life springs forth, more abundant than ever. Going back to Jesus' day, the Jews put too much emphasis on the temple. They allowed the magnificence of the temple to overshadow the majesty of God. All that changed when the walls came tumbling down. From that point on, they would worship whatever they could in homes or shops or small makeshift synagogues. And their temples might not be anything more than a table, a menorah, and a copy of the Torah, if they were lucky enough to have one. Yet over time, this had a positive effect. The simplicity and smaller scale made the worship setting all the more intimate and personal. The destruction of the temple in 70 AD was a blessing in disguise because it forced the Jewish people to take responsibility for the worship wherever they happened to be. So out of the rubble came new life. The same can be said of most disasters. In the wake of recovery, those who survive are often stronger and more appreciative than ever of the simple gifts of life and love and friends and family. Out of the rubble springs new life. It holds true for individuals as well. When we lose our job, or a loved one dies, or we go through a divorce, or we find out we've got cancer or some other dreaded disease, and our life seems to be in ruins, our first impulse might be to throw in the towel. But as the dust settles, we start going through the rubble, taking the stock of what we still have to work with. We find that all is not lost. There's plenty left to salvage. What's more, as we start putting the pieces of our life together, sometimes something unusual happens. We find out that we're actually stronger than we were before. We're more humble, to be sure, but more appreciative of the simple things in life and more sensitive and compassionate towards others who are dealing with losses in their own lives. This is what the Apostle Paul experienced in his own life and shared with the church in Rome. He said, "Moreover, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit." Jesus said, "They will lay their hands on you and persecute you." But then he said, "The persecution will give us an opportunity to witness to our faith." Persecuted Christians have given a powerful testimony to their faith. A Christian who acts in faith in the face of persecution becomes a powerful witness, a world-changing witness. There is the testimony of Asmin, who was a committed Muslim and an active member of a terrorist group. He was put into prison where he led prayers with other Muslims. Over a period of weeks, he fasted and tried to contact Allah. Over a period of weeks, he failed and was frustrated. In the end, he began to wonder if God really existed. This was the unforgivable sin. And so he believed that God would destroy him. Suddenly, he was enveloped by a powerful light And he cried out, "Forgive me, forgive me." I felt a hand on his shoulder and a voice saying, "I forgive you." He really felt and knew that he was forgiven and asked who this person was. Jesus Christ was the answer. And he was shown a vision of millions of people of many lands. "Who is going to tell them that I love them?" he said. I wonder if Jesus gave him the password to the portals of heaven. Amen. Now let's stand and say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And after this hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be," 519, Roy will pray with us.
God's in prayer.
Roy will come and pray with us and for us.
Let us pray. Lord, our prayers begin with heartfelt thanks for the world we live in, its beauties, its gifts, its delights. Lord, in your mercy, teach us, Lord, to cherish it and not to destroy it, to use our free will to create, to enhance, to beautify, not to infect, bomb, pollute, or celebrate mass murder. Lord, in your mercy, in Deuteronomy, you promised forgiveness to those who return to your ways, your commandments, after straying from them. Lord, we thank you for your eternal forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy, let us take and never forget the clear direction from Peter's epistle to heal our wounded world. Lord, in your mercy, let us condemn evil and deceitful speech. Lord, in your mercy, let us turn from evil and do good. Lord, in your mercy, let us seek peace and pursue it. Lord, in your mercy, let us remember that the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Lord, in your mercy, be prepared to suffer for what is right. Do not fear threats. Do not be frightened. Lord, in your mercy, it is better to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Lord, in your mercy. Jesus Christ is our inspiration. His goodness led him to death on the cross. Lord, in your mercy. And let us remember and pray for those in our lives and our community who are suffering at this time. And for those in our church, Amanda R., Bob V., Carol and Jeff, Jeff, who is receiving palliative care, Graham Lang, Laura G., Marie, mother of Tash, who's recovering from a fall, Pauline Stowe's family on her death, Sandra Mason, unwell at this time, Sheila Cousins, and let us also pray for the Youth Club and the Sanctuary Cafe. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Collect for today. Generous God, you give us the gifts and make them grow. Through our faith, though our faith is small as a mustard seed, may it grow to your glory and the flourishing of your kingdom, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Gathering our prayers and praises into one, as our Saviour taught us, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your will come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now our final hymn, Tell Out My Soul the Greatness of Your Name, number 520. God of our salvation, you have restored us to life. You have brought us back again into your love by the triumphant death and resurrection of Christ. Continue to heal us as we go to live and work in the power of your Spirit, to your praise and glory. And we face each other over the aisle, and we say together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us evermore. Amen. Please be seated.